This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Sol Danela. My guest today is the lovely and amazing Trina Bardusco, a multi-talented, multifaceted, artistic, and creative professional. Her and I have a lot in common, beginning with dance, being cyclists, producers, and more than anything, you know, an all-around creative force. And I'm really proud of Trina, and I'm really happy that she's giving me this hour or so to talk about life. But most importantly, I want to start with the fact that she is a new fellow for Made in New York with the IFP Media Center, and she'll tell us all about that. Así que gracias, Trina, por estar aquí.
Hola, Sol. Wow. Can you be my publicist?
Mira. So tell me about this fellowship.
So I'm very interested and fond of the place in Dumbo. It's called the Made in New York at IFP Media Center, and it's very San Francisco. It's a lofty space, and there's a mix between gamers and entrepreneurs, tech folks with media makers, everybody from animation to film to documentaries, and myself that I'm trying to build a series to then move on to having a platform for these kind of shows. And I applied as Flamenca Films, my new production company, and I'm creating content for women, spirited women, not the usual fashion and mommy stuff, moving beyond, and specializing in Latinas, because we are a force now. One in every five women in this country is a Latina, so I think we have a big enough market to create some good content. So I'm very excited about that, and apparently they think I'm great too, because out of hundreds of people, I was one of the 10 chosen. So thank you, IFP and Made in New York. And basically, this is a Made in New York initiative to make sure that we have new voices here, technologically speaking, and in terms of media. So it's a city initiative. I'm sure you've all seen the Made in New York
logo. Insignia. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is great. And the place is beautiful. Go there, take courses, anything from pitching to virtual reality. You see these guys wearing the virtual reality mask, walking around. So learning about all those things, it's good. It's keeping me on my toes, and I'm really excited.
Wow. And do you want to talk about Flamenca Films?
So as you know, I'm the producer of Habla. The Habla series has been happening for 13 years. And basically, we are the only original programming that HBO Latino has, because they buy everything from South America. So during that time, I became kind of a cultural expert, so to speak. I mean, I hope one day all the Hablas will come back to back, so we can see who the Latinos have been in each city and all the celebrities and all that. So that's been my thing about Latinos and finding identity, right? Mm-hmm. So next, I started working for Yahoo as a producer and director for four shows that they had for Yahoo Mujer. And we had 25 million unique monthly visitors. So it was a big mom. And the other one is the kind of mom that throws a chancleta at you, right? The more conservative. So that was fun and brought up a lot of issues. We had another one called De Moda, typical fashion and celebrity trends. The other one was called Café con Tacones, which I think you were on, Sol, where four women got together in a round table and hashed things out about so many different things. And the last one was called Casi Perfecta, which is kind of a sitcom style drama comedy, where this woman is trying to have the American dream with her family, and then La Suegra moves in from a different country. We don't really know from where. But so these are all short content, and I like to say that it's mommy or mommy content, right? So you got the Sofia Vergara, our beautiful, sexy Latinas, and what we like to wear and how we like to look. And then the other stuff is very mommy oriented, right? And it was branded, and I worked with P&G, a lot of CoverGirl, Pantene, but also toilet paper and paper towels. So I became an expert in figuring out how to incorporate that into my episodes. But mostly, when you're creating content like this, you also have to think of the headline. What are people going to click? And what's the takeaway once they come into your episodes? What do they take away, right? Because why should I be watching this, and what are you giving me to better my life, right? So I did over 400 episodes in 7 years, and I'm not going to lie, I sat there in my pajamas many times trying to think of what to do or what to write, because a lot of the themes just kept on repeating themselves over and over again. Mm-hmm. And especially with women, since we fall in the woman category, that's where we live, and that's what the brands mostly focus on, is beauty and fashion, and also moms, right? Because Latinas are so young. But what about all the spaces in between, mm-hmm. right? And that's something I do with Habla too. What about the flowers that grow between the cracks? What about these other kinds of stories? Latinas who are very adventurous, spiritually inclined, they're seekers, they're deportistas. Some of them are not moms, which is a trend that's happening everywhere with all groups of women. And I started coming up with my own kind of ideas, and I was burnt out, right? So I decided to create Flamenca Films to create content specializing in Latinas, but also women in general, to create content, right? Rather than be on the work for hire side. Like, what are the stories that we want to tell? And first thing I did was Wanderlust. That's the working title for a series with a distinctly feminine take on the impulse to travel, right? So think Anthony Bourdain meets Eat, Pray, Love. Mm-hmm. And imagine that first person. I'm actually the person, because, hey, why write for a host when you can do it yourself? And it's also, I put my own money into making the pilot and the trailer that you can see at flamencafilms.com. And basically, I wanted to learn firsthand what it means to be a woman, right? So the first episode was in Spain, because I love Spain and I have a lot of connections there because I've been involved in the flamenco world. So the first episode is a flamenca, right? So I become a flamenca. The next episode, I become a yogini looking for bliss. In flamenca, it's duende. In the U.S., it's cowgirl. It's independence. In Japan, it's a geisha. In Italy, it's a diva. So all these kind of, you could say, archetypes for women, right? But it mixes music, it mixes adventure, it mixes travel. So that's what I'm incubating right now at the Made in New York at IFP center, that I have a year grant for that. So they're going to help me with this first project to kind of define what Flamenca Films is. But I'm really excited. One in every five women in this country is a Latina. And so many of us moving forward are what they call non-moms, right? Women from 35 to 50 years old. And I say we're the new gays because we have money, right? So all this millennial stuff, yeah, but they're neglecting this older market as well, which I fall into, right? That's me, because I'm 43. I'll say that proudly.
And me too. I mean, I'm 46, but I fall in that market.
Yeah, so we're completely neglected. Only 7% of women that you see in the media are 40. Yeah. 7%.
Yeah.
It is crazy. And some are even older because they express kind of that, the mom or the abuela and that kind of thing. But if you look at who the people are that are making posts or really contributing, or the journalists, they are in their 40s. So there's something about our age that is important. It's self-realization. And a lot of millennials have liked my work as well. So not to exclude anybody, mm-hmm. but I'm making work from my heart. It's what I've seen, and this is what I think is missing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that journey. Why don't you talk a little bit about how Habla came about, actually? It's been so long, but how did you and Alberto came with that identity platform?
It's a great story, and it was actually due to flamenco in a way, because that's my first love. I was a nerd at Hunter College, specializing in poetry and Spanish and literature, and I won a Fulbright. So go Hunter. Hunter students can win Fulbrights. Mm-hmm. And I went to Spain for a year to study flamencos duende and deep song. And if you don't know what duende is, it's basically the spirit of flamenco, that moment which makes you say ole, when they basically they lose it. Something else takes over, right? And everybody's so moved. And I was obsessed with that from a poetic standpoint. So where I'm going with all this, okay, so that's also important for what I said before about flamenca, because what I've been searching for is duende, ultimately.
Yes.
And I think that's important. That's what we're missing in the media landscape in terms of what Latinas vibe with, right? That passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a basis, kind of like a metaphysical basis, right? I don't know how it's going to transform itself or what it's going to become, but there's potential, right? And Latinas can show the way for a lot of other women as well. So back to Habla. So I got my job at HBO Latino. Alberto was my boss. He was the creative director when they launched HBO Latino. Super talented, Alberto. And he worked for years in HBO Maine, but they finally said, hey, maybe you should launch Latino. And we did a lot of work, right? We did La Entrevista de Paulina Rubio sobre su nuevo disco. La entrevista de Paulina Rubio con su nuevo disco. Luego, la película nueva de no sé quién. So it's like all entertainment news, right? And this, what we did was on-air promotion. That's what goes in between the movies, right? Which promotes the channel and gives it its voice. So we were bored to tears, right? We're like, si tengo que entrevistar otro pop star que me dice lo mismo, con todo lo interesante que está pasando con los latinos. And at that time, you have to remember, this is 2002. There was not a lot of Spanglish at the Univision and Telemundo models, where everything was hola esta noche en Telemundo, you know, so a lot of important stuff from Mexico. So we were just kind of forging this identity, and Afro-Latinos didn't see themselves. People from all over different countries weren't seeing themselves, and we're kind of stuck in this fake accent, right, that we're all supposed to have this what do you call it, the neutral accent, which for me is the biggest bullshit. Sorry, I said bullshit, that could ever exist, right? How can we have a neutral accent if we're so many countries, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, including the Latinos here, the New Yorkers have their accent, everybody has their thing. So we were born, and Alberto saw the Oscars where Errol Morris, who's this filmmaker, I'm sure you've heard of him, and he invented a technique called the interotron. And the interotron is basically that you look straight into the camera and you see somebody's face in the camera. And it's a way to have people talk directly at you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very in your face. It's and we saw Errol Morris do a piece with a white background for the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
where people spoke about their different favorite movies, right? Then there were the Apple commercials with the white background and the whole thing. So we actually were really ahead of the curve on that, or rather right on the curve, right? And we said, this is great. Let's do this and just put Latinos the way they are on the screen, and we can do different things. And since we had the opportunity to make pieces between the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that, what they call interstitials, we were trying to give this channel some identity. How can we make this about US Latinos? How can we make it different than Univision and Telemundo, verdad? And HBO wanted to be on that cutting edge. So we did a test with a wonderful lady who did a show, mm-hmm. at the MAMA Theater called The Bronx Witch Project. Mm-hmm. Ay, Dios mío, se me olvidó tu nombre este momento. Perdóname, chica. It'll come to me. Where she talked about being a culoless Latina, right? Because that was a big J-Lo thing. So she said that she was a Latina and she didn't have a culo. We thought it was so funny. We saw her play that we brought her in. We did a test. And they said, all right, do it. Okay. And we did. So we shot a bunch of people and we put them in as interstitials, right? And they were just these little nuggets, los caramelitos, you know, with all kinds of different people. And there was a good response to it. So unfortunately, I got laid off. The AOL Time Warner merger, Alberto stayed, but I got laid off. And there was a gentleman there, Chris Spencer, who was just a great guy. He was our boss. And I used to bring him a lot of music, and he liked flamenco. And he saw my documentary that I made in Spain. Because when I went on my Fulbright, I made a documentary with a little digital camera. 1999, the first time you could actually buy one. I bought it at the Wiz,
mm-hmm.
right? I had no idea what I was doing, but tenía su corazoncito, tenía su duende, ¿no?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris liked it. And he felt bad for me. He said, you know what? why don't you show your documentary at the HBO theater? I said, you're kidding me. He's like, yeah, show it. Invite your friends. I was like, wow. I don't know if you've been to the HBO theater, but it's pretty nice. It has those.
Yeah.
It has those big, the big sofas in the back with the phone where you can call somebody and say, this sucks, you know, or wow. So I said, okay, but you know what? My documentary is only 26 minutes long. Why don't we take the hablas and just put them back to back so everybody can see them as well? Yeah, okay, good idea. So now I had an hour-long program. Were you there, Son?
No, not for that
one.
By
chance? You weren't there? Because you've been with us from the beginning, girl, too. So I did that, and then I got into trouble because, of course, my friends at that time were, the writers, the Latino writers for People in Español, for Ad Age, for the New York Times, for El Diario. Those were honestly my friends. And they went crazy about it, and they wrote about it, and I got in trouble with corporate publicity because they said, what is going on here? Why? What's this? And Chris Spencer, I let her use the theater. Anyway, mira, es mejor pedir perdón que pedir permiso.
Right.
Como dicen, ¿no?
Right.
Because what happened was that not only Chris, but the other executives in charge, they said, wow, this is really something, right?
Yeah.
So that was cool. And I left and I started my first company, Latino Media Works, because at the time, everybody was calling me for stuff. Listen, we're doing something about diversity in Latinos. There was, it was still a lot to be learned, right? And we're in a much better place now as a community. But imagine, wow, that was 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. So one day I get a call from HBO and they say, hey, Trina, with your new production company, do you think you could produce Habla as a show? So that's why we were born in a different way. We didn't go through the Sheila Nevins HBO documentary process. We were truly an HBO Latino kind of incubated experiment that became. And I'm really proud of that because it really came from something authentic that people, and people to this day, they love Habla. I mean, it has kind of a cult following. It never really got promoted so much. It never, up until recently, just because it was, el documental in HBO Latino. But I think little by little, people have grown it and grown to it. And when they catch a piece that's like them, it's really exciting. So I'm really proud of that. El Habla.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love Habla. They're really beautiful. Very...
People. It's the people with their stories to tell. And what we do is we try to mix it up, ages, backgrounds. But then also we know, there really is a story that we need to tell about ex-felons in Habla Bota that now can vote, right? Mm-hmm. Or women. Hey, there's this Latina who's the boxer for the first time at the Olympics. I bet you she has a story.
There was
plus
Gina.
Plus size model Denise Vidal.
Yeah, Denise Vidal. There was Gina Rodriguez, remember? She was great.
This is what makes me so proud, too, is that oftentimes, more than a few, we've caught people right before they've completely blown up. And Gina Rodriguez was one of those. And so was Lin-Manuel. Lin-Manuel did, we invited him after In the Heights. And it's such a good habla. I mean, he's such a genius. It's one of my favorite ones, actually. And then Gina Rodriguez, too, and she was telling about how her dad didn't want her to be an actor. That's the worst thing you could be for a Latino family, right?
Yeah.
Por favor, como que un actor, un artista, no? So she was telling that story, and then you go a year later, she's Jane the Virgin. So, and she spoke about her dad when she got the award, the Golden Globe.
I remember that. I was very excited.
So it was cool. Yeah, so it was really, her story was really true and earnest, and it was really about her having this raw talent and saying, I don't care what I look like. I'm a good actor, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. And I think that's the attitude.
Yeah.
That's the attitude. It might take a while, but what else are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I know.
Nothing? Yeah. So.
And I guess that segues really nicely into... my question to you now, what motivates you? What What ignites you? What makes you want to do all these things that you're doing? Is it your duende? Is it, you know, we can talk about it more because I love the duende. I understand what the duende is, and I love the fact that you hold on to it as a, yeah, what I call reasons to live, you know? We all have different things to hold on to for those things. What propels you forward?
Well, duende is kind of a life work, and now I've put it into my flamenca episode, and really I'm searching for duende, right, in all these episodes. What is really important behind it? What ignites the fire, right? And duende is such a great example because the flamencos, you can see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You want to cry,
yeah,
right? And they just go for it, and they're not themselves anymore. They're just transported, right? So for me, everything started with poetry because I write poetry, and I sing a lot, and I was more a lyricist than a musician, and so I've always had that connection. And duende is when you get something like a Fulbright or something like that, you just feel so honored, and you feel like, you know, you get to actually delve deep into something like that. So that's why it's my life work. And you should apply for a Fulbright, but for a Fulbright, you have to bring something original into the world, right? They're saying, hey, this is something that we don't know enough about, right? So that's why you get a Fulbright. I also like to dance by myself and listen to really loud music. So I'm always exploring how I feel, and I'm really into, I don't want to say spirituality, but wisdom. So I'm always studying something like Kabbalah or yogi stuff. I mean, I'm really into that. I spend a lot of time studying that because I feel like it gives you the strength to live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it brings you closer to the light or the source or whatever you want, the more you know. And that goes in tandem with self-knowledge, right? But now I'm full on, I'm an accidental entrepreneur,
mm-hmm,
right? So I'm also very excited about being able to give people work. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me was having all those people on a set for Habla and making something out of nothing, right? So getting a group together, and that's my new thing. And again, bringing something into the world that we need and that's not really out there. So that, I think that motivates me. It's hard though. It's hard. You have to keep going and keep going, and a lot of people say no or look at you strange, but I also like that idea of becoming an entrepreneur. And now I'm learning about money and how you can do that and how you can get investors and all these things. And I think I'm ready for that. So that motivates me as well.
Qué linda. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, this is the first year. Dame dinero porque te voy a hacer dinero a ti también.
Yeah. So, and to go a little bit into your, like, really incredible background, because I guess, you know, identity, of course, is something that's present in you because you are, you know, you have mixed identities, as I do too, right? And how have you been,
yeah,
I guess, undulating with that throughout your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think every Puerto Rican can relate to this. Entre aquí y allá,
mm-hmm,
¿no?
Claro.
A lot of people, not just Puerto Ricans, but that's why I love Puerto Ricans, because it's just so, the Spanglish is so embedded in the whole thing. Although Venezuelans, we speak a lot of Spanglish too, especially now that we're no longer in Venezuela, so many of us are. But anyway, it's, my mom is from California. She's una gringa hippie. She met my dad in being a hippie in Europe, viajando por ahí.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is Venezolano, Italo-Venezolano, and they were both hippies. And basically the story, I said, Mom, so what happened? Oh, it was cold. We got together, and then I got pregnant. I'm like, okay. So what do you do when you're in your 20s and you're pregnant and you don't have any money? You go to Casa de los Abuelos,
mm-hmm,
obviously. So my American family was horrorizada, right, because here was my mom supposed to study art history in Switzerland on a scholarship, and she ends up in Venezuela pregnant. But I think my mom is so grateful to have lived in Venezuela so many years. I mean, she's perfect. And I get that from my mom. She's a very open San Francisco lady, maybe a little naive, but such a good heart. And she taught English. So already she was putting herself in the entre aquí y allá, right? So for me, that was just nature, right? But I've never looked like who I am, right? So in Venezuela, I didn't look Venezuelan. And here, you know, the other way around, people are saying, what do you have this little accent, you know? Yeah, well, so, but I think it's such a good place to be in because you can really feel both sides and they really are you. And sometimes you feel a little bit like a fish out of water, but I'm definitely Venezolana because I spent my whole life there till I was 20 and didn't really leave that much. So, and I also joke around that I didn't realize how white I was until I moved here. It was not that big of an issue.
Yeah.
But when I moved here and I went to Hunter College, and let me tell you, coño, those girls in the student government, because I was the editor of the newspaper, I had to win them over where they're like, who is this white girl and who does she think she is?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm Venezolana, you have to believe me. But at the end of, when I graduated, they were finally all like standing on the chairs. Trina! So all's well that ends well. But those women were fierce. I love them. I loved Hunter College, actually. So I got here and I went to Hunter College, living on my own, supporting myself. So that's another thing that drives you, right? When you have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. But I think there's a difference. I know people that live and do what they do because they have to, and then there are people that do what they do, but they try really hard to go for following at least something that either that they really love to do or finding things that whatever it is that they're engaged in, that it makes them feel fulfilled. And I think there's a distinction. I think you and I are in the tribe that we do what we do because we have to, but we fight to do things that fulfill us. You know what I'm saying? And that's a different type of battle, I feel like. For example, you know, when I think of one of the things that I love that we have in common is the fact that you rode bicycles to earn your keep, and I was a bike messenger to earn my keep. Now, from the outside, you would say, but that has nothing to do with, you know, with what you wanted to do or, you know, what a horrible job. But to me, it was one of the most liberating experiences I ever had, and it fell right in step with my lifestyle at the moment because I was touring, I was a performing artist, and so being on the bike was so easy because it kept me fit. It wasn't that I was committing myself to anything, you know, it was just to come in and out. And I know this is like way back, you know, back in the day, but I'm talking about things, the purpose of what we do. We do what we have to do, but we know we have things that we love to do and we fight for that. And I think that's, you know, why I ask you why you... You know, what moves you? Why is El Duende so important to you? Yeah. I guess this is more of a comment or a contribution rather than a question.
I mean, I think Duende is definitely aligning with something bigger than yourself, right? So you kind of prepare yourself to then let go. Because this whole go with the flow thing, yeah, but you have to be prepared to catch those moments where there's a window where you transcend, right? And I think the only way to get to those spaces where you evolve or you get to see something, experience something in yourself or in others is when you really get in there, right? And you're ready. So flamenco has this amazing rhythm, right? And I really worked hard to get that because I figured there was some sort of magic in that. So it takes you, and I might have lost my train of thought a little bit because that's exactly how Duende is.
Yeah.
it eludes us, but it's something to chase because it's about feeling, it's about aligning. And the only way is to always do your best, right? Transformation always comes when you do your best, and whatever that be. So when I was riding my bicycle around New York and in the 90s, it was glorious with all the bike messengers. It was really cool. There weren't all these tourists on the city bikes. There wasn't as much traffic. I mean, it was really exciting. And it was freedom. And it was, I remember when I made my money and I would come home and you know, I was like 20 years old. So just being in New York, flying around, right? Because I was a horrible waitress, by the way. I tried once. Se me caía todo. So I said, well, obviously. So, I mean, also life pushes you in the direction of where you're supposed to go because you fail at other things, right? So, no hay que tener miedo. And that's what Duende is about also, is about courage, right? If you're going to get in there and you're going to do it, if you're going to get in a circle, for example, of flamenco, let's say all these gypsies, you better show something, anything. Who are you? Where's your soul, right? And they have an expression that says, si no tienes soniquete, pa' que te metes, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have to prepare in life for that. We have to find our soniquete to get in there and really play and not fall apart, right? And we're so afraid of that, but we shouldn't be, because that's what people see and are drawn to. And now as an entrepreneur that I have to do these speeches and todo, I'm terrified. But I'm using all these things because I've heard time and time again from people that what people buy is your personality or your passion, right?
Yeah.
So we get stuck in the day-to-day and the figures and I got to do this and I got to do that. When some of this bravado can really take you far. It really can. And Latinos, we have it. We're just afraid of it.
Yeah.
We're just afraid of it.
You think?
It's overwhelming, I guess. But so what? Who cares?
And what are you looking forward to for the 2017 year?
Well, I see myself in an office with a team. I really am excited about that, even if it's a small team, because I need help with these big projects. So I hope to be able to hire people and get the opportunity to fund Wanderlust and the company. So I feel like I have a lot to give at this point, and I want to bring other people in. So that's something that's important to me, and that I hope this incubator will allow me to do, because they're giving me free office space, right? And as part of the fellowship. So, and all that, growing as an entrepreneur and being able to, I guess, walk the walk, walk the talk, practice what I preach, right? Fully.
Yeah.
And just not have any of these little side things going on, right? To make money or no. I want to embody this thing because I think I'm ready. So, and I hope to get clients who realize that Latinas are a big enough audience and who will work with me to find these programs, right? And I don't want to just limit it to Latinas, but I think that we're a big enough population that we can at least lead the thinking behind it, right? Like we're saying, this passion, el duende. So that's exciting to me. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Right now, just living day to day, todos los días.
Yeah, that's the only way, day to day, one day at a time. I love it. Gracias. Thank you so much for this. You are lovely and amazing, and I know that really good things are coming.
Thank you, Sol. Amen. And you're also just somebody who I look up to so much. Una luchadora. Siempre estás inventando cosas. Ayudas a todo el mundo con una sonrisa. Te felicito.
Gracias, mi amor. So, 10-4, and we're in touch.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Aquí estamos, a la orden.
Okay.
FlamencaFilms.com.
FlamencaFilms.
If you want to see any of my work. FlamencaFilms.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Ciao.
Ciao.